Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I'm reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, February 13th. Coliseum facility fee on packed commissioners' agenda. Some West Odessans want West Radcliffe Road at University and West 16th paved and will petition Ector County's Commissioner's Court to do just that during a Tuesday meeting. It's a busy agenda, including items such as a new fee to be added to tickets to events at the Ector County Coliseum, as well as accepting several donations to various departments. Ector County commissioners are scheduled to meet at 10 a.m. Tuesday at the County Annex, 1010 East 8th Street. Other items on the agenda include discuss a donation of four plants from Burt Carmel's for the Kellis Turner Park Beautification Project. Discuss a donation of $2,000 from Jones Brothers Dirt and Paving Contractors Incorporated for the Employee Action Committee, EAC. Discuss a facility fee to be charged on all tickets sold at Ector County Coliseum events. Discuss purchase of 120 portable radios for the Ector County Detention Center in the amount of $164,762. Discuss a resolution to hold a uniform election on May 4th. Discuss a total loss declaration for a Chevrolet Tahoe police and possibly declare it salvage property. Discuss a vehicle transfer of a 2023 Toyota Highlander to the Human Resources Department. Discuss bid specifications for Public Works Caliche Roads. Discuss a $2,500 grant from NewsWest 9 and the TEGNA Foundation to the Ector County Library and the UT Permian Basin to expand the Latin American writer and film series. Discuss the interlocal cooperation contract for the Failure to Appear program through the Texas Department of Public Safety. Discuss the Recruiter Model Service Agreement with Resource Communications Incorporated, RCI, for the District Attorney's Office. Personnel requests. Discuss the Constable Precinct Number 4, Pete Anchondo, resignation. Discuss an animal control comp time disbursement. Discuss and take any necessary action to begin the process of adopting amended county regulations on game rooms and to obtain legal counsel. Discuss a budget amendment to sales tax fund, animal control, animal supplies and expense for $15,000, and uniform supplies for $5,000. Discuss a budget amendment to FMLR Fund, Road Department, professional services of $23,000. Future educators get real-world training in high school. Midland ISD continues to expand its education and training program, which equips high school students with skills and certifications to prepare for a career in teaching. A total of 85 students from Midland High, Legacy High, and Coleman High currently participate in the program, including 50 upper-level students. Juniors and seniors in the program can get hands-on experience by visiting one of five elementary schools 3 days a week to observe and assist in classrooms, as well as teaching groups lessons. There is so much opportunity for educators to have a future here in their hometown, program coordinator Lilia Romero said in a news release. The curriculum and real-world experience we offer through the education and training program helps students develop the skills they need to excel as educators. Beginning in as early as ninth grade, students in the program can take classes like Principles of Education and Child Development as they progress to 11th and 12th grade. Students delve into instructional practices and practicum, where they visit elementary classrooms to observe, assist, and teach. This classroom time is critical for our students' development as educators, LHS teacher Sue Ann Chilinek said in the release. It starts with observation, but by the end they are actively teaching real lessons and learning how to manage a classroom. Students in the education and training pathway are also active members of the Texas Association of Future Educators, TAFE, which holds teaching competitions across the state. These events foster professional development and foster a sense of camaraderie and community among aspiring educators. In completing the program, students can earn an educational aide certification, allowing them to work as teacher's aides immediately after high school. For those aspiring to pursue higher education, including a bachelor's degree and teaching certification, Midland ISD facilitates relationships with Midland College and UTPB to support students' pursuits. Potential $50 billion Southwestern energy giant emerges as Diamondback seeks to buy rival Endeavor. Diamondback Energy will attempt to buy rival Endeavor Energy Resources to create an energy giant in the southwestern United States worth more than $50 billion. Growing confidence in an economic recovery, particularly in the U.S., has driven massive deals in the energy sector in recent months, including Chevron's $53 billion acquisition of Hess in October and a $59.5 billion deal 2 weeks before that by ExxonMobil, its biggest acquisition since buying Mobil 2 decades ago. A tie-up between Diamondback and Endeavor, if it succeeds, would create a player in the massive Permian Basin oil and gas field that straddles Texas and New Mexico. It would be the third largest producer in the Permian, behind Exxon and Chevron, overseeing 838,000 acres and potentially producing 816,000 oil equivalent barrels each day. Diamondback said Monday that it will buy Endeavor in a cash and stock deal valued at about $26 billion. Endeavor is the largest private owner in the Permian Basin. Drillers can pull more than 4 million barrels of oil equivalent from the Permian daily, and the rush is on to secure prime real estate in the largest oil field in the United States, with little sign that the U.S. economy is slowing as many had expected. We have evaluated every deal in the Permian Basin over the past decade, and there has not been another opportunity that has come close to the scale and quality, Diamondback Chairman and CEO Travis Dice said during a conference call. Despite broad expectations that it would dip into recession in a turbulent global economy, the U.S. has proven surprisingly resilient, with a red-hot job market and economic growth that has surprised almost everyone. The nation's economy grew at an unexpectedly brisk 3.3% annual pace from October through December. In addition, oil and gas prices have remained relatively flat of late as OPEC has been cutting production in an attempt to raise prices. Lower oil prices are good for the U.S. drivers as it means they'll pay less at gas pumps. However, it's bad news for OPEC plus countries whose oil income bolsters their economies and who have faced setbacks in pushing prices higher despite initial fears that the Israel-Hamas war could affect oil flows. U.S. oil production has hit records as OPEC Plus has cut back, with producers outside the group expected to keep leading global growth in oil supply in 2024, the International Energy Agency said in November. Shareholders of Diamondback Energy Incorporated will own about 60.5% of the combined company, while Endeavor's equity holders will own approximately 39.5%. Diamondback and Endeavor's assets are highly contiguous and offer opportunities to capture operational and overhead synergies through a combination, Stifel Derek Whitefield said in an analyst note, explaining that the deal will add low-cost inventory to Diamondback's Midland Basin position. The Diamondback-Endeavor deal, confirmed Monday, includes approximately 117.3 million shares of Diamondback common stock and $8 billion in cash, and will create a huge operator in the Permian Basin that straddles Texas and New Mexico. The combined company will be based in Midland. Our companies share a similar culture and operating philosophy and are headquartered across the street from one another, which should allow for a seamless integration of our two teams, Stice said in a prepared statement. The boards of both companies have approved the deal, which is expected to close in the fourth quarter. It also has all the necessary Endeavor approvals, the companies said. If the deal closes, it will add to a flurry of transactions over the $5 billion mark. Aside from the deals made by Chevron and ExxonMobil, other deals include Chesapeake Energy and Southwestern Energy, announcing last month that they are combining in a $7.4 billion all-stock deal, and the December announcement that Occidental is buying Crown Rock in a cash and stock deal valued at about $12 billion. Diamondback's stock rose nearly 9% in morning trading. Minko joins West Texas Symphony for world premiere performance. Grammy-nominated composer, producer, conductor, and keyboardist Wally Minko will perform with the West Texas Symphony at 7:30 p.m. March 2nd. This world premiere performance will take place at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Joining Minko are musicians that make up his jazz quartet: Gary Meek, saxophone and flute; Ernest Tibbs, bass; and David Zarlinga on drums. Minko has toured and performed with top stars including Barry Manilow, Tom Jones, Pink, Arturo Sandoval, Tony Braxton, New Edition, and many more. This performance is unique, however, as all of the music has been composed by Minko, exclusively for orchestra and jazz quartet, in a collection he titles Opposites Attract. Minko is part of the West Texas Symphony's Pops and Family series, underwritten by the Wood Family Foundation. Tickets are $33 to $60 and can be purchased at WTXS.org or by calling 800-514-3849. All student tickets are $12 with a paying adult or valid college ID. A special discount is offered for groups of 10 or more. This concert is sponsored by Brazos Door and Hardware, Basin PBS, and West Texas Radio Group. For more information on this or other WTS events, visit WTXS.org. City to consider social media policy. The Odessa City Council will spend time discussing ARPA funding, social media policies, tires, and waterline breaks Tuesday. According to the city's online agendas, the council is scheduled to talk about adding a new section to its personnel policies and procedures manual pertaining to media relations and personal social media during its regular 6 p.m. meeting. The proposed policy outlines the responsibilities of the city's director of communications and states the city of Odessa disavows and is not responsible for any sites, posts, opinions, or content not coordinated through and approved by the director of communications. The new 7-page policy provides guidelines for content posted on the city's social media by employees and elected officials, but also addresses what they can post to personal social media sites. According to the new policy, some specific examples of prohibited social media conduct includes posting commentary, content, or images that are defamatory, pornographic, proprietary, harassing, libelous, or can create a hostile, discriminatory, or retaliatory work environment. It also states city resources, work time, social media tools, and a city employee or elected official's position cannot be used for personal profit or business interests or to participate in political activity. The social media accounts of elected officials that include their elected titles can be considered city-authorized social media accounts without the express written approval of the city manager and director of communications. Employees who indicate they work for the city have to use a disclaimer stating their postings are their own and don't necessarily represent the city's positions or opinions. Last March, Mayor Javier Hoven said he didn't consider a social media policy or priority for the city. Council member Steve Thompson was in favor of one, however. "I am very against more bureaucracy. I've never liked it. I think smaller government is good. And so, I promise that we have a smaller, leaner government," Hoven said last year. "We are very sensitive now. People have a choice to do something. They don't have to read them. You can text something, but you don't have to hit send. In the end, you have these choices," Hoven said. "I don't read none of that stuff. I do hear about it, but I don't read any of that. I just stay away from it." Council member Mark Mata reacted quite strongly when asked for an interview on the topic last year. "How about writing an article that promotes the city and its employees instead of always trying to stir stuff up? Your stories are what is dividing this community, not elected officials. The community is tired of it and view the OA as a gossip rag," Mata wrote in an email. "The OA used to be an integral part of this community, a source where people went for information. Now it's only a paper that is hell-bent on painting the city of Odessa in a negative light. I hope that one day the OA will become what it used to be, a great newspaper." The council is also scheduled to vote on how to spend its remaining American Rescue Plan Act funds. Council members have already agreed to give $1 million to Medical Center Hospital for a mental health facility and $500,000 to MCH for a free diabetes detection clinic, but allocate just over $8 million in remaining funds. During its last meeting, the council tentatively agreed to give a significant amount of the funds to Odessa Fire Rescue. They should receive a new computer-aided dispatch system, striker cots and power loads for 8 new ambulances, hydraulic rescue tools, a tender truck, and wild land brush truck. The council has also tentatively agreed to set money to upgrade OPD's public restrooms and elevators and to demolish the parking lot at 201 North Grant. Also topping the city's list of possible purchases are new lights and safety rails at the Darrington Wastewater Treatment Plant, upgrades to the plant's cranes, new fencing, and a grit removal system. Tuesday's regular agenda also includes a discussion about spending $751,000 to equip 20 recently purchased Odessa Police Department Ford Expeditions with the appropriate lights, plastic seats, partitions, radar, and other items. In addition, the council will discuss using a classroom at Firehouse No. 6 as a meeting space and an emergency operations center in case of a significant event in Odessa or Ector County. During the Council's 3 p.m. work session meeting, the Council will discuss paying for 20 of the 51 waterline breaks that have happened since January 1st. According to materials provided to the Council by Utilities Director Kevin Niles, the City signed a contract with Edgardo Madrid and Associates in December 2020 to help the City in replacing and installing water and sewer mains along with other repairs and installations. Because the City's distribution division currently has 10 open positions, Niall said he reached out to Madrid for help, and the company helped repair 20 of the 51 waterline breaks. Madrid is requesting $5,000 per line break or $100,000, Niall said. Director of Equipment Services Director Chris Adams also wants to talk about going out for bid against an automotive tires. According to materials provided to the Council, the City asked 7 vendors to bid on a tire contract, but only 3 responded. He'd like to reject those 3 bids and consider other options. The Council will also discuss buying OFR 100 air packs at a cost of $607,000, donating $100,000 to UTPB for sporting events per a September 2021 resolution and changing the City's athletic facility use agreement. Board to hear update on LEAP, a program aimed at helping Ector County ISD develop and retain talent and align incentives to instructional priorities, will be presented to the ECISD Board of Trustees at 6 p.m. February 13th in the first floor boardroom of the Administration Building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. The board will also consider a request for approval to authorize the negotiation and execution of a contract to purchase 2 pieces of property. The program LEAP stands for Leadership of Ector's Accelerated Performance. It is funded through a 3-year, $9 million grant from the U.S. Department of Education. It is focused on math and reading. There are 10 schools in the rollout: Odessa High School, Bowie Middle School, Bonham Middle School, Blackshear Elementary, Dowling Elementary, Downing Elementary, Goliad Elementary, Sam Houston Elementary, San Jacinto Elementary, and West Elementary, a news release said. Together, these schools serve 9,739 students with 556 teachers and 10 principals. Only 29 entities in the county were awarded the grant. The goal of the program is to sharpen the skills of teachers to be effective instructors and to strengthen the school's instructional leadership team. More skilled leaders and teachers will result in higher achievement in math and English language arts reading for students. There are 4 groups of staff members participating in professional development provided by the grant. One is a group of 4 teachers, leaders from each of the schools participating. One is the group of 10 principals from the participating schools. One is identified novice teachers and their mentors from the 10 LEAP schools. And one is a group of 12 up-and-coming teacher leaders from across ECISD. The group will meet at least once a month for the duration of the 3-year grant. It's building and expanding a diverse workforce, so reading and math teachers who qualify will have the ability to get stipends based on student growth, and principals will be able to, Executive Director of Talent Jaime Miller said in an interview. She added that there are some other programs that affect teachers who aren't at the 10 campuses. One of those is ATLA, Advanced Teacher Leadership Academy. 12 teachers from around the district are in that, and they get to work with amazing leaders and work on their leadership skills. We meet at least once a month. We just have had a big conference style, 3 days of working together, and they received a $5,000 stipend for going through this program, Miller said. She added that there's not only helping them, but those teachers are going to return to their class campuses and help build capacity of leadership on their campuses. Odessan accused of pulling gun. A 31-year-old man was arrested Saturday night after a couple accused him of pointing a gun at them during a fight. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers received a subject with a gun call around 7 p.m. Saturday from the 200 block of Aldridge Avenue. A woman and her boyfriend said they were standing outside a GMC Sierra arguing with Enrique Navarrete Chavez when he pulled a gun and pointed it at her from the driver's side seat, the report stated. The boyfriend said he then stood in front of the woman to protect her. The couple said Chavez's girlfriend, who is the woman's sister, got out of the Sierra and Chavez took off, the report stated. Chavez and his girlfriend said he only pulled the gun after the other man tried to get into the truck, the report stated. Chavez said he kept it in its holster and pointed it at the ground. His girlfriend said he pointed the gun at a trailer behind her sister. Chavez was arrested on suspicion of two counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He was released from the Ector County Jail Sunday after posting surety bonds totaling $50,000. Odessan arrested on felony charge in jail. A 64-year-old Odessa man arrested on a misdemeanor warrant is now facing a felony drug charge after deputies said jail camera footage showed him trying to hide a glass vial of methamphetamine. According to an Ector County Sheriff's Office report, Ector County Jail staff found a vial containing 9.9 grams of methamphetamine in the intake area around 5 a.m. Wednesday, February 7th. The staff reviewed camera footage and saw Blake Eugene Bird reach into his left pocket, pull the vial from his pocket, drop it, and kick it away from him, the report stated. Bird was booked into the jail on suspicion of possession of a controlled substance, a second-degree felony, and a McCullough County warrant for possession of a dangerous drug. He remains in custody Monday night on surety bonds totaling $52,500. Cates, syphilis cases rising at alarming rates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. I thought long and hard about if I should write about syphilis rates increasing because conversations about sexually transmitted diseases, STDs, can sometimes carry moral implications. I decided that I need to write about this disease because regardless of the moral implications, syphilis is a medical issue. Treatment can only occur when people seek care, and that means talking about the possibility of an STD. I hope by talking about it here, someone will have the confidence to talk to a healthcare provider if they are concerned about syphilis or any STD. The current statistics on syphilis are very concerning. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, reported syphilis cases rose in the U.S. by 80% between 2018 and 2022. According to the Texas Department of State Health Services, TXDSHS, Texas syphilis cases rose by 22% between 2021 and 2022, and the 2022 rates are double of those from 2018. The scariest part of these statistics is the increasing numbers of cases that are affecting pregnant women. Syphilis, if untreated during pregnancy, can be passed to the newborn and be fatal. A syphilis infection in a newborn is called congenital syphilis. In 2022, TXDSHS reported the highest number of congenital syphilis cases ever reported at 685. Preliminary 2022 data has shown another huge jump in congenital syphilis at 950 cases, a 39% increase in 1 year. In 2022, 220 stillbirths and infant deaths in the U.S. were related to congenital syphilis. According to the CDC, the risk of death for congenital syphilis is as high as 40%. Syphilis is a very old disease. It is caused by the bacteria Treponema pallidum. Forms of that bacteria have been detected in human remains from 2,000 years ago. It became a worldwide disease around 500 years ago. Historians believe that spread was largely due to the abuses that accompany slavery. Because it is an STD, historically people have been reluctant to talk about syphilis. In the days before disease transmission was fully understood, it was frequently called a disease of a rival group or a country as a way of saying culturally, that is not our problem. The Germans and English called it the French pox, Russians called it the Polish pox, the French called it the Neapolitan sickness, the Japanese called it the Canton rash or the Chinese ulcer, just to name a few examples of that cultural distancing. Many experts in disease transmission feel that people not wanting to talk about syphilis and the need to distance oneself from the disease is still an issue. That reluctance means people often do not seek treatment in early stages and they spread the infection. Another contributor to the problem is that people think that syphilis, because it is such an old disease, no longer exists and don't take preventative measures to discuss it with their sexual partner. Syphilis has several stages that can last weeks to years. The first symptoms arise between 10 and 90 days after infection, with an average of 21 days of first symptoms. Primary syphilis usually starts with a single sore called a canker in, on, or around the penis, vagina, anus, rectum, lips, or mouth. There is usually just one, but there can be multiple sores. Cankers are usually firm, round, and painless and heal in 3 to 6 weeks without or with treatment. Syphilis is spread by direct contact with a canker. However, if the person does not receive treatment, syphilis can progress to the secondary stage. That stage includes skin rashes and/or mucous membrane lesions on one or more areas of the body. The rash usually does not cause itching. Other secondary stage symptoms include fever, swollen lymph nodes, sore throat, patchy hair loss, headaches, muscle aches, weight loss, and fatigue. Just like other primary stage syphilis, these symptoms will resolve with or without treatment, but without treatment, syphilis will progress to latent and possibly the tertiary stage. Latent syphilis has no signs or symptoms and can last for years. Tertiary syphilis is rare and can appear 10 to 30 years after infection and can be fatal. Tertiary syphilis can affect the brain, nervous system, eyes, heart, blood vessels, liver, bones, and joints. Symptoms depend on the organ systems affected. If you or your partner notice sores that can be cankers, or there is a chance you have been exposed to syphilis, seek medical attention with your primary health care provider. If you do not have a primary health care provider, the Ector County Health Department has expertise in all communicable diseases and can assist you in finding the right testing and treatment of syphilis and other STDs. The treatment for syphilis is most commonly a one-time shot containing penicillin. For someone with a penicillin allergy, there are other antibiotic choices, but for pregnant women, penicillin is the only option, so they may need to undergo penicillin desensitization to treat syphilis. Unfortunately, because of the rapid rise of syphilis cases, we are also seeing a shortage of penicillin in the form needed for a shot. As a final thought, please remember prevention, which is even more crucial with the penicillin shortage. The best prevention for syphilis is abstinence, followed by protected sex using a condom. If you have syphilis or any other STD, do not have unprotected sex until you have been treated and have spoken about unprotected sex with a healthcare provider. Even if you are having protected sex, whether you have an STD or not, please discuss the possibility of STDs with your partner. Entrepreneurial Challenge Awards. The Midland Entrepreneurial Challenge Awards ceremony is set for 7 p.m. February 13th, with the check presentation starting at 7:30 p.m. The event will take place at the Ray Great House Recital Hall in the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Midland Mayor Lori Blong, along with the Midland Development Corporation, will be handing out the checks totaling $500,000 in prize money. TxDOT urges drivers to slow down and avoid distractions. Odessa District fatality numbers are sitting at 11 in the first 12 days of February. In 2023, our February fatalities were 8 for the entire month. TxDOT is urging everyone to do their part to end the streak of deaths on local roadways. A news release details that in the Midland-Odessa area, the top contributing factors of fatal crashes are roadway and lane departures 40%, intersection safety 33%, speed-related crashes 30%. Young drivers 24 years or younger account for 29% of all fatal or serious injury crashes. What can you do to keep from being a statistic? Match your speed to road conditions, including bad weather and work zones. Allow for more distance to stop when traffic is heavy or roads are slick. Watch for road signs alerting you to reduced speed limits ahead. Always buckle up, drivers and passengers, day and night. Use caution when trying to pass another vehicle. Leave yourself plenty of time to get where you need to go. Always give driving your full attention. Put your phone away, turn it off, or use an app or your phone setting to block texts and calls, or send auto reply to text while you're driving. Remember, fines double if you speed in a school zone or work zone when crews are present. Two killed in rollover crash. Two people, including an Odessa man, were killed early Sunday morning in a rollover crash in Midland County. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, a 36-year-old Del Rio man was traveling east on State Highway 158 when he took a curve in the roadway at an unsafe speed for wet road conditions at 4:40 a.m. The Dodge Ram 2500 veered off the road to the right and rolled multiple times. The driver and all four of his passengers who weren't wearing seatbelts were thrown from the truck, DPS stated. Jesus Mejia Trejo, 28, of Odessa, died at the scene, and Mario Govia, Jr., 21, of Del Rio, died at Midland Memorial Hospital. The driver was taken to Midland Memorial Hospital with serious injuries, and the remaining passengers were taken to the same hospital with minor injuries. The crash remains under investigation. Angry dad holds suspected thief for police. An Odessa man who allegedly bought an iPhone using counterfeit money found himself being held for police by the iPhone owner's dad. According to an Odessa Police Department report, 911 dispatchers received a disturbance call from West 33rd and Eastover Streets around 7:30 p.m. Friday. When officers arrived, they found Christian Ayala being held down by a man who said he and his son had set up an appointment to meet Ayala on Facebook Messenger to sell the son's phone, the report stated. The man said Ayala grabbed the phone and threw an envelope into their car, but he noticed the $20 bills inside the envelope stated, "For motion picture purposes" on it, the report stated. After obtaining a search warrant, officers discovered more fake money, 5 grams of methamphetamine, and 2 grams of cocaine, according to the report. Ayala was arrested on suspicion of 2 counts of possession of a controlled substance and forgery. He remained in the Ector County Jail Monday night on surety bonds totaling $55,000.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram's oil report for Saturday, February 10th. Permian production exceeds 6 million barrels, analysts say. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. In a testament to the technological and efficiency gains seen in the Permian Basin, the region saw oil production surge despite a decline in drilling activity. East Daily Analytics estimates Permian Basin production ended 2023 at a record 6.1 million barrels of oil a day. The analytics firm puts that growth at 500,000 barrels a day, up 8.8% in December 2023 from production of 5.6 million barrels a day at the end of 2022. Analysts said growth was stronger in the second half of the year as new natural gas processing infrastructure and natural gas pipeline expansions entered service, allowing producers to bring more wells online. Quote, "The Permian Basin continues to defy all expectations," Ben Shepard, president of the Permian Basin Petroleum Association, told the Reporter-Telegram by email. Continuing the quote, "The hardworking men and women in the industry deserve a word of thanks from every American for producing the products our country and the world depend on. Unfortunately, the relentless legislative and regulatory attacks on our industry threaten the very industry which supplies so much." End quote. East Daily found drilling activity declined throughout 2023, falling 49 rigs or 14% for the year. The Permian Basin rig count, which includes West Texas and southeast New Mexico, ended 2023 at 302 rigs, down from 351 at the end of 2022. Company analysts say that is the lowest rig count since January 2022, when the region was producing 4.9 million barrels a day. Analysts attribute the falling rig counts in part to a series of mergers, notably ExxonMobil agreeing to acquire Pioneer Natural Resources, and Occidental Petroleum agreeing to purchase Crown Rock. According to East Daily, private operators posted the largest yearly decline in basin rig counts, down 33% in 2023. Drilling by private operators fell 17% in the Delaware and 36% in the Midland sub-basins. Despite the lower rig count, analysts said efficiencies in drilling and completion work are driving productivity gains from new wells and more than offsetting lower rig counts in the company's model. East Daily projects Permian crude production to grow 7% in 2024, while rig counts hold relatively steady, up 2% at the end of the year. Element 3 extracts lithium from Permian wastewater. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Long considered oil field waste, the water that is produced alongside crude oil and natural gas, is proving it could become an invaluable resource. As the energy industry looks for ways to recycle and reuse that produced water in its operations, and researchers look for ways to turn it into a water source for people, others are learning to extract valuable minerals from the water. Element 3 announced earlier this month it has successfully extracted lithium chloride from produced water provided by Double Eagle Energy Holdings 4 and its subsidiary's produced water recycling facility. Hood Whitson, founder and chief executive officer of Element 3, said he watched critical minerals like lithium be extracted through strip mining and the use of potable water needed by humans and animals. Quote, "I started this with the idea of oil and gas wastewater as a feedstock," Whitson said during a video interview with the Reporter-Telegram. Whitson and his team approached various Permian Basin operators, given the large amounts of produced water in the region, and found interest from Double Eagle. Quote, "Hood and his team first approached me in 2022, and I was immediately supportive of their vision," Joshua Gregg, chief financial officer of Double Eagle, said during the video interview. Continuing the quote, "Hood and his company presented an opportunity to source critical minerals within the United States from a waste product. This initiative significantly reduces the United States' reliance on foreign countries for resources, particularly China, for battery materials," end quote. Gregg added that Double Eagle founders and co-chief executive officers John Sellers and Cody Campbell joined him in recognizing the strategic importance of supporting companies like Element 3. He said they felt Whitson's proposal was a unique opportunity to let Element 3 test its technology. "It has been widely believed lithium chloride could not be extracted from produced water in meaningful quantities without first concentrating the wastewater. Element 3 has a patent-pending direct lithium extraction technology that eliminates the need for pre-concentration." The test at Double Eagle's recycling facility aligned with Element 3's expectations of recovering more than 85% of the lithium contained in the wastewater with a concentration of less than 40 parts per million lithium. Independent third-party testing verified the lithium chloride produced has the concentration and purity required to create battery-grade lithium carbonate. For Whitson, extracting lithium is a great place to start with the energy transition. He pointed out that lithium batteries, beyond powering cell phones, smartwatches, and more, are playing an increasingly important role in the electric grid, and he predicts continued growth in demand for lithium. With the field test providing Element 3's technology can successfully, economically, and sustainably extract lithium from low-concentration produced water, he said he hopes to move into larger commercial demonstrations. Quote, "Our aim is to keep running pilot projects and prove what we're doing," he said, adding that he's interested in working with a wide swath of oil and gas operators. Said Gregg, quote, "Element 3 is the company that both the government and investors have been searching for in the critical materials sector. It is environmentally friendly and profitable. We are fortunate to have such an innovative company right here in Texas focused on the Permian Basin," end quote. That the company has figured out how to get lithium from wastewater in an environmentally sustainable way and profitably gets us excited, said Gregg. U.S. energy development raises acquisition spending. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. After entering the Permian Basin in 2019, U.S. Energy Development Corporation continues to expand and develop its holdings. The company recently announced that in 2023, it made 19 acquisitions totaling $600 million in capital expenditures. For 2024, the company expects to spend even more, planning to evaluate, acquire, and deploy between $650 and $750 million in capital expenditures. Quote, "It's a reflection of our team doing an excellent job in finding opportunities for us to acquire or for joint ventures. Jordan Jason, the company's chairman and chief executive officer, told the Reporter-Telegram in a telephone interview. Of the 19 acquisitions made last year, most were in the Permian Basin, while there were also significant investments in the Barnett, Haynesville, and Powder River Basins. Quote, "These transactions have continued to strategically grow the firm's domestic footprint, especially in the Permian Basin, which had previously been buoyed by a $225 million investment in the Mascot Project, a stacked pay prospect in core Midland Basin acquired during the fourth quarter of 2022, Jason said. He said while the company is focused on the Permian, where 90% of its expenditures are expected to be deployed, it also continues to explore opportunities outside the region. Quote, "We are heavily focused on wellbore diversity and looking for high-quality acquisitions and joint ventures," he said. When U.S. Energy Development first entered the Permian, it was spending in the Delaware Basin. But the last 18 months have seen the company deploy more capital in the Midland Basin, he said. He said there are opportunities and new targets beyond the Spraberry and Wolfcamp, but the company also continues to work with its partners in developing those primary targets. Jason said the company is participating in more Permian joint ventures than it has operated assets, though it has been an established operator for 45 years. The company does plan to operate a rig in the Delaware Basin throughout the year. Quote, "We look at assets to be operated or non-operated. We also look at strategic joint ventures even if we're not the operator. We're focusing on working interest," he said. The company has hedged its development and is navigating a different environment, Jason said. Quote, "At the end of the day, we invest our money in good projects. If we stay disciplined in deploying our capital, we will perform well," he said. Ultimately, the company expects to deploy upwards of $1 billion in upstream assets over the next 18 months. Guest column. Permian has banner year for production and investments. The story was written by the Permian Strategic Partnership, submitted to the MRT. As global energy demand continues to rise amid persistent conflicts worldwide, the role of Texas and the Permian Basin as an energy hub is expanding. To sustain Texas's ongoing growth and prosperity, it is imperative that we take a vested interest in the Permian Basin, given its pivotal role in our state's economy. In 2022 alone, the Permian contributed an impressive $18.4 billion in total taxes to Texas, directly funding essential statewide services. A sustained commitment to the Permian Basin will solidify Texas as a resilient and thriving economic powerhouse. Since our founding in 2019, the Permian Strategic Partnership, or PSP, has committed $160 million to our community and leveraged more than $1.5 billion in collaborative investments in education, workforce development, healthcare, and roads for the Permian Basin. As we kick off our fifth anniversary celebration in 2024, we must reflect on the Permian's progress and plan for the future. The Permian Basin's ability to meet energy demands hinges on having a well-skilled workforce. By 2040, the Permian Basin is expected to need 190,000 more workers. These are not only those out in the field, but also truck drivers, nurses, electricians, and teachers who keep our community thriving. Over 5 years, we are proud to have invested $40 million to meet the workforce development needs of the region. In 2023, PSP partnered with Odessa College to expand its truck driving academy to help fill the critical need. Additionally, our work with SkillPoint Alliance has created upskilling opportunities for area residents in careers such as HVAC technicians, electricians, and plumbers. But it is not more than workforce that requires our attention. Education is a cornerstone of PSP's work and the most significant area of investment, exceeding $75 million in the last 5 years. Despite some recent improvements in our independent school district's recent test scores, the sobering reality remains that less than a third of students meet college readiness standards, with 60% of our third graders not reading at grade level. Research shows that student performance is influenced by teacher experience and quality. To improve student achievement, the PSP is enhancing the professional development available for our educators. We have dedicated over $4 million in support for 700 teachers to attain their National Board certification, partnered with the Holdsworth Foundation to offer principal internships, and helped bring a new Harmony Science Academy to Midland. To ensure that students are college and workforce ready, we have committed $4.5 million to developing an energy education and workforce curriculum for K-12 schools and colleges across West Texas and Southeast New Mexico. This labor market-aligned program of study provides students with dual credit and credential opportunities while strengthening the energy industry's workforce pipeline. Healthcare, including behavioral healthcare, is another critical area that demands our attention. In response to the current mental health needs of residents, PSP dedicated tens of millions of dollars toward behavioral care, providing resources to strengthen the needed workforce and, this year, breaking ground on the Permian Basin Behavioral Health Center to bring top-quality treatment to the region. To further meet the healthcare needs of the Permian Basin residents, PSP has invested nearly $50 million in medical professional programs, which leads to more than 330 potential additional health care providers. With continued growth comes new transportation challenges. Despite being home to less than 1.6% of the Texas population, our region is responsible for more than 5% of the state's driving fatalities. This summer, the Texas Transportation Commission increased district funding by $1 billion, targeting the I-20 corridor and U.S. Highway 285. In addition to improving the roads themselves, we need our first responders to be equipped with life-saving tools. Over the past 5 years, the PSP has provided more than $4.5 million and 8,500 pieces of equipment to first responders region-wide, saving countless lives. The PSP is proud of the work we have done together with our partners, but we are just getting started. With the support of its member companies, stakeholders, and community partners, the PSP is dedicated to making a lasting, positive impact in the Permian Basin for decades to come.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.